Man, well, happy Memorial Day, everybody. I'm so glad that we get to be together today. You know, I think of the value of Memorial Day. My father was a Marine, but not just because of my background, but because I realized the weight of what was done for me to experience and live the way I live today. And I just want to, like, if you have a family member that maybe gave their life for this country, or you know of someone, I just want to tell you that there's a lineage, there's a legacy of value that literally reverberates through the generations. So thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Guys, today, being together is something I don't want us to take for granted. I don't know if you realize this, but we were, like, just coming back together this time last year. Okay, we were just coming back in person this time last year, and I think before last year started, it was easy for us to, like, I think take for granted the idea of being sitting in these rows together. But it's not something that we can take for granted. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look around. I want you to make, like, awkward eye contact with somebody. Make good contact with somebody. Give them the "I'm proud of you" face right now. Give them the "I'm proud of you." You know, yeah. If you get a finger gun somebody, it doesn't matter. What you gotta do, for real. This is great. Being together is a gift. And so as we are jumping into today being a gift, I want you guys to understand the value of what a gift is. The value of gifts is something that is given that we don't necessarily deserve. A gift is something that we might not know the value of when it's given. The value of a gift is simply the fact that it's a gift. You know, as we're jumping into this conversation today, there's a couple things that I want to highlight first and foremost. That's Pastor Dave. Can you put your hands together for Pastor Dave real quick? You might not know him, but I do. I can't tell you how much of a gift it is to be here with you on this team, to experience and benefit from your leadership. It's a gift to be just together on this journey. You know, it's crazy. 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, my wife and I, we came to visit River Valley, Minnetrista, and we came to a youth night. I hadn't met Pastor Dave before. We had met, like, what? We met 4 hours before that. And everyone's like, "Man, like, how do you guys know each other?" And I was like, "We're really good friends." You know what I mean? Like, super good friends. Like, but it was an immediate connection. And I'm so grateful that we have that together. And can I tell you, if you're in this place today and maybe you're wondering about if this is truly for you, if this is a place for you, there's an opportunity for connection, but it takes intentional action on your part. We all have an opportunity to be in community, and that takes us all to do it on purpose. Can I encourage you today that you are welcome here, that this is home for you, and not only is it from my words, but we get to prove it by giving everyone free cold brew out in the lobby, and you get to take an opportunity and grab a crepe and buy me a crepe after the service, because you're going to know that I'm going to need it. But hey, why don't we take this time together, and let's jump into the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8. Now, as we are going, if you're opening your Bibles to that, I want to tell you, as the youth pastor here, one of the cultural pieces, I think, of our church, whether you're online, you're here on Sundays, is vocal response, okay? So if you are in the room, I want you to think about this for a moment. I believe that God has given me a word for you today, specific and unique, to the family that's here. This is not a message that's being preached at Crosstown. This is not a message that's being preached anywhere else. This is what God has given me uniquely, okay? There's a reason for it. So everyone in this room, we're about to receive from God, not from Andrew. I get the opportunity and privilege to bear the weight of being used by him today, okay? And I've done what I needed to do to make sure that I'm being used as his spokesperson. I want to encourage you today to realize that when God speaks to you, there's a response that we need. So vocal response. I want you to think about this for a minute. There's going to be some really good things that come out, if I do say so myself, all right? So with that, I want you to visualize for a moment. I want you to, like, imagine what your vocal response would be when something comes out today that speaks to you. All right? You're going to have 3 seconds to think of it. And on the count of three, you're going to utilize that response. I want to hear everyone's vocal response to what I'm bringing to you today. All right? So think about it. 1, 2, 3. I love it so much. Give you guys a round of applause in this room right now.
Hey, if you didn't, you're like, I'm more of that, like, you know, I want to like internally process. I am as well. But you can also make sound when you're writing something on paper, okay? You might have a hard time like multitasking, but just draw a straight line, all right? And write hallelujah or whatever you need to do. But today is a good day. My goal is that you would be encouraged today. My goal is that you would find a lift in your spirits today. And my goal is that you would be challenged to find Jesus like never before. You guys ready for this? You're like, come on. Like you said, we're strapping in. So we're going to pray and we're going to jump into this verse. God, you're in the room. I pray that we would be more aware of your presence than ever before. And as our awareness rises, I pray that you would cause our expectancy and hope for what you have to rise as well. We love you, Lord. And everyone says, amen. Come on. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste and see. As we're reading this verse today, I can't help but wonder exactly why did he utilize these two senses, taste and sight. And as we're looking at it, I think it's cool because the National Geographic just brought out an article that talks specifically about the correlation between these two senses. You guys ready for this? I love this stuff so much. It says this, when it comes to tasting, what you see is not always what you get. Findings show that the appearance of foods and drinks can make people see flavors before they actually taste anything. Anyone ever experienced that? Come on. That's a phenomenon that can influence a person's flavor experiences, their food likes, and even their dislikes. Traditionally, scientists have thought that the tongue, the nose, and the brain dominated how people experience the flavors of food. However, the study reveals how sight can forcefully come into play. You know, and I completely agree with this. I mean, I just mentioned the crepes. Have you ever seen a crepe being made on one of those stones? That's the coolest thing in the world. I'm like, how did that liquid turn into heaven? You know what I mean? Like, that's the flavor from, like, that's what we're going to be eating when we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yes, all right? Like, can tell you, I'm looking at that. I'm thinking about other foods, though. Like, when I first, her mom is an orphan from India. So when I go home, we get curry. Praise Jesus, okay? But I can tell you right now, if you've ever eaten tandoori chicken, and if you eat it for the very first time, it doesn't look that appetizing. I mean, for real. You're like, what dumpster fire is on my plate? You know what I mean? But it is so good. Well, how about this one? Maybe you've never had tandoori chicken. Let me think here. Guacamole. Guacamole does not look appetizing at all. You mean you go up and someone makes it for you fresh? I mean, they're mashing this thing that you don't have a clue what it looks like. You've never had guacamole before. That's what kept me from eating it for years. And then I got saved. It was amazing, right? Absolutely. But this is what we need to see. Like, even think about this one. Now, everyone loves this. If you don't, you really do. You just don't know it yet, all right? Bacon. Oh my gosh, that's God's food. Give it up for bacon, somebody. Yes. Absolutely. I see that hand. We're going to pass the offering plate. No. Here's the deal. Bacon. But when you buy it in the store, I mean, come on. Are you serious? Like, that is not look like you can call it marbling all you want. That is going straight to my hips and I'm okay about it, you know? But bacon, any type of food that we look at, like, it affects what we think it's going to taste like. And I think it's amazing, though, that seeing and taste are closely connected spiritually as well. I mean, why else would the psalmist actually write about it in Psalm 34? There's a reason. Let me reread this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, before we go any further, I think it's important for us all to come on the same page about what these words mean. Okay, we might have certain context when we read it ourselves, what taste and sight might mean. But in the original Hebrew, taste, the author writes it like this. Taste actually meant to become aware of its existence. And sight was to find or understand. So if I rewrite this verse for a minute for everyone, it says this, become aware of and understand that God is good. Become aware of and understand that God is good. Man, I believe that we need awareness before we have understanding. And that's what's important to see right now. There's a reason for the order. Become aware before you have understanding. And I think our first observation for the day is simply this. Our awareness opens the opportunity for experience. Our awareness opens the opportunity for experience. Can I read to you one of my favorite verses? It comes from the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It says this, the Son is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. He holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. He accomplished for us the complete cleansing of sins and then took his seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the majestic one. I mean, how awesome of a scripture is that? Like, write that and tattoo that on my back. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is one of the best scriptures I've ever heard before because it tells me who he is, what he looks like, what he's done, and what he is going to do. Can I tell you right now, I believe that Jesus is alive and he's standing in the gap for you and me right now in heaven. And because he's alive, ready? His presence is in this very room. His presence is here. You see this in Matthew chapter 18. It says, where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. My simple question for you today so far is simply this. Are you aware that God is in the room? Are you aware that God is here? It's our awareness, by the way, not our setting, that opens up the opportunity for experience. Hear me. There's a lot of times we think we have to be in a certain place at a certain time. We think about the story of the man who is paralyzed by a pool, and when there's in the New Testament, there was an angel that came and would stir the pool, and this paralyzed man would try to get in. The first people that would get in would be healed, but this paralyzed man couldn't make it. But guess who shows up? Jesus. And Jesus walks up to him and he says, whether you can make it into the pool at that exact time or not, I'm in the room, and get up and walk. Can I tell you right? Yeah, come on. I think it's important to understand something, family, that Jesus is in the room. And if Jesus is in the room, it doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter who you're with, doesn't matter what you're doing. All it requires is awareness to him and saying, oh God, I'm open to you, because the God of miracles can do what he wants, when he wants, and through whomever he chooses. If you agree with that, put your hands together. Let's worship Jesus. He's worthy. You see, last Wednesday, man, I could tell you right now, youth, if you have never been to a youth night, get your happy self here. Put a red tag on. I've got it for you. And you can spend some time. Come be a youth leader, by the way. But also, I want to encourage you to realize that God is doing a mighty work. Last Wednesday, there was a student actually outside of Wednesday night who was sitting with her mom in her living room watching on the TV this preacher talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. And in that moment, she chooses to open herself up and she gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, begins speaking in tongues. There was no incredible worship band behind her, no movement of students in front. It was simply her, her mom, and a couch. And that's all that God needed for her to find Jesus in a powerful way. But think about this. A few hours later, at youth night, God began to move. We had over 15 students give their life to Jesus for the first time or rededicated. And after that, we had people who had literally found physical healings. Yeah, we can clap for Jesus. And then there was a student who came forward and asked for prayer that she might receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And God touched down and empowered her with that gift. You see, two separate students, okay? Two separate experiences, two separate settings, the same God. The same God. There's only one thing that I can see that's similar. You want to know what it is? They were together with others. Can I tell you right now, you're meant to be on this journey together. You're meant to have people to your right and to your left who are pursuing Jesus together. And you might feel like you're alone right now, but can I tell you right now, this is what's true. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. What God has for you is beyond what you could ever hope or imagine. His promises remain true. No matter what setting you're in, no matter where you are, the power of God can reach down and change your entire situation. But that's only once you're aware. Once you're aware. I think this is what's powerful. Our awareness builds in anticipation for what's to come. our awareness to God builds an anticipation for what's to come. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." He's begun a good work on earth as it is in heaven. He's already in the room. Let heaven invade your life. You don't have to wait until the day that you give your life up and you breathe your last to experience what God has for you. God has something that is infinitely greater than what you see in front of you and what you can feel, taste, and smell. But all we need to do is become aware of his presence and lean in to the experience that is the Almighty. I believe that there are people in this room today that need to experience a miracle. You know, I was praying for this week. God gave me a list, a short list, and you might be on this list or you might not, but these aren't just me just listing off brainstormed ideas. I believe that there are people in the room that would say, you know what, Andrew, that's me. I believe you became aware of his presence, you would be able to believe that he could heal the hurt you experienced as a child. I believe that you became aware of his presence, you would believe that he could set you free from your addictions or your anxieties. I believe that you could believe that he could revive your will to keep going. I believe that you would be able to then lean in to believe that God could restore your relationship with your parents. He could heal your sickness. Whenever God moves, it's a miracle. Are you aware today that the miracle working God is in the room? He's here right now. We don't need anything else. We just need him. I may have listed something off that's a part of your life, or you might have something different. Either way, the unique miracle-working God is in the room. And if you're looking for God to come through for you today in some way, shape, or form, or maybe you've been believing for a miracle that you have given up on, can I encourage you right now that God hasn't given up and God is still focused on what you need? If you're in the room today and you would say, you know what, there's a miracle I need, would you just be open and have boldness to raise your hand? Let's just slip your hand up wherever you're at. We're going to pray for you right now. Hold your hands up. That's right. You see people in the room that need prayer. If you're in a good spot, I want you to stretch your hand towards these people and let's pray together as a family. God, you are a miracle working God and you speak in ways that we don't even see. And Lord, I pray right now that the divine connection with the Almighty would touch down in every heart and soul in this room, that you are a miracle worker. You are the way maker. You are the powerful I am. And you not only died on the cross for us, but you brought salvation for everyone that's here. And Lord, I pray right now that we would lean into the reality that you're in the room, you're powerful and just, and we'd simply do one thing, we trust you. In your name we pray, amen and amen. Can you put your hands together and worship the one? Come on. Hey, my last thought today is this. God is so good. All the time. Come on. God is good. Says this. Let me reread this statement. We need to become aware of and experience the goodness of God. You see, this is what I want you to hear today. It's not God's infinite ability that brings the miracle. It's his love. It's not the fact that he can do it. It's the fact that he loves you enough that he wants to. You see, it tells us, if you have a hard time believing that, can I take you back to the one thing that I always go back to? And that's the cross. That's the cross. Jesus didn't allow men to whip him, to beat him, to rip apart his body, to endure the weight of the cross, to feel the pressure of the nails piercing his hands and feet, and the pressure of the pain of a spear in his side, just so he can prove to the world that he was God. No. He did it all because he loved us. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you doubt? Do you doubt that reality that he died for you? Or better yet, that he simply loves you? You're in good company. Can I encourage you today? You're in good company. We don't have to look any further than John chapter 20. One of Jesus' own disciples, his name was Thomas, heard about Jesus being resurrected from the dead. Everyone else saw him except for Thomas. He wasn't there. And he looks at the disciples when they tell him that Jesus had now once died but then rose again and said, no, I don't believe it. There is no way. There is no way. Think about it. Thomas had walked with Jesus. He had seen miracles happen. He had seen Lazarus brought back from the dead. He had seen blind eyes restored. He had seen lepers healed. But he's like, no way. Unless I see Jesus, and not only see him, unless I can touch the where the holes were in his hands and his feet, I will never believe. And you see, just a couple verses later, guess who shows up? Jesus. Can I tell you right now? Jesus is showing up in your life and in mine. The question is, are you open to him showing up how he wants to? Are you open to that? Jesus shows up and it says this. He looks at him and looks at Thomas and says, Thomas, reach out, take your hands and touch my hands, my side, and see that I'm alive. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas, now, fully aware of who's in the room, fully aware that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is in the room, looks at him and declares something so powerful. He says, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. You see, when the king enters the room, we have to acknowledge who's really walking in the room. He's not just a teacher. He's the great I am. He's not just someone who answers your prayers once. He answers your prayers always. He's not someone who gives you one promise. His promises are new every single day. The power of God walks in the room. And Thomas says, behold my God and my Lord. And this is what's powerful. Jesus looks at him and says this, because you've seen me, you have believed, but look what happens. This is the good news for us. But blessed are those, blessed are those who have not seen and still have believed. You know, I have never seen Jesus. I've never been able to put my hands in his hands where the nails pierced or in his feet. I've never been able to touch his side, but I believe that he's alive today. I believe that he's alive and well today. I believe that one day, though, we will see him face to face. Scripture talks about the day when all tears will be wiped away. All sorrow will be gone. We will see those who have gone on before and celebrate. And there will be absolute joy, healing, and wholeness will be the expression and experience of all on the world. But until that day, I hold to the reality that I might not see everything clearly, but what I do know is when I hold on to what Jesus has for me, that Jesus is saying, I'm not just going to take you there, but I'm going to walk with you. There are people here today who need to know that Jesus is literally walking with you. His presence, your awareness to his presence is what's needed for you to succeed in everyday life. The response I have for you all today is pretty simple. Will you embrace the reality of God's presence in your life like never before? Will you embrace the reality that God made you, that God fashioned you, that God calls you, and God loves you? If you fully embrace that reality, what would that change in your life? What would that change in mine? What actions would look different? What words would sound different when we say them? Empty words, family. Empty words. That's not something Jesus was known for. What Jesus said, he meant it. And what Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the very end, he meant it. I think about what that would look like in my life. I think it looks like praying and actually believing that he's listening. I think it looks like taking the first step to mend that broken relationship, even if I wasn't the one who did the hurting. I think it looks like confessing hidden sins, because only when we let things come into the light do we find freedom. I think it looks like tithing. I think it looks like giving. I think it looks like worshiping. I think it looks like holding a welcome home sign at the front doors and living that same reality out on Mondays. I think it looks like being the hands and feet of Jesus. Would you stand with me? There's nothing more important than knowing that God's in the room. Are you aware of his presence? Are you aware that he's in the room today? Are you aware that he is calling you and me? I think there's someone in this room right now. I just want to be open to the Holy Spirit. You're having a hard time believing that God really is there for you because you have a hard time believing that he loves you. And the statements I've just been making about the cross, you're like, well, that was then, but what's now for me? The love of Jesus is not indicative of the experiences you've had on this earth. The love of Jesus is indicative of who he calls you. He calls you his son. He calls you his daughter. Are you in that family? Are you fully there? In a minute, Pastor Dave's going to come up and he's going to give a challenge to those in this room. For those who have, maybe like if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you've allowed yourself to take center stage instead of Jesus being center stage, it's time to bring him back to where he belongs. And that's simply at the core of who you are. Because it's his strength coursing through your veins. And it's his abilities that are bringing you wholeness and healing like never before. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Can I encourage you today? We can't leave here the same. I used to think about this a lot, being like, oh, you know, I can make that decision. But the difference between making that decision and actually believing that there's no other way is desperation. At what point will it take for us all to be desperate enough to hear the voice of God? At what point will it take us to be desperate enough to say, there's no way I'm leaving until I get freedom. There's no way I'm leaving until I get healing. There's no way I'm leaving until I find community. There's no way. It's only through Jesus and him crucified and risen again. Let's pray. Jesus, we stand on a precipice of opportunity. A stage that's set only by you. A stage that only can be brought together by the wonder-working God, the creator of the universe. And Lord, I speak to every heart and soul in this room. And I pray, God, that you would reveal the depth of love of who you are. Lord, that we would no longer see Sundays or our life, Lord God, as moments in time. But we would see every single step that we take as literally a touch from Jesus being a space where literally the eternal can touch down and transform our lives. In the world around us. Lord, I pray right now that we'd be open and honest and we would find you today. In your name we pray. Amen.